The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented. Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. So glad that you have joined me. Report 71 of the Pfizer document shows more horrific behavior by Pfizer. Yes, you have to remember that new information from the Pfizer documents continues to be released. They are still releasing documents, and we are still getting more and more stuff from court rulings. But the Pfizer documents, a lot of people think, was all 100% dumped. And I don't think everybody understands that every month more stuff comes out. I don't know when it's supposed to end, and I don't know when it does end. But that's why there's been so much information about the Pfizer documents spread throughout time. And the only bad thing about that is a lot of people will see something about the Pfizer documents and they think, oh, I already saw that. Oh, that's old news. They don't understand. No, it's constantly new news. There's so much. There is thousands and thousands of documents released each month. And so Naomi Wolf and her team go over those documents, and this is report 71. And every single report has been horrific, but has backed up everything that we have said, and basically that Pfizer's behavior of a massive cover-up. Remember, this is their data. This is their stuff showing horrific side effects and death and just massive adverse effects from the vaccine in their own documents. It's literally impossible to get something this awful approved ever. But they didn't have to get it approved. And that's what you always have to remember. It was just emergency use, and they just threw it out there. Why did they even do trials? You know, and since they lied so much by covering up, why did they not fake the documents? You might be wondering that, but here's why. They've done this with so many other vaccines where they have lied in their documents and covered up adverse events in the past that nobody really has ever scrutinized them. They just thought no one would ever go through these documents. They never thought anyone would see them first. And even if they did kind of come out, who's going to go over and scrutinize all of it? They just didn't think they had to hide all of this stuff. Once they were in a court case, then they started to flip out and ask the judge to hide everything for 75 years because they're like, oh, crap. We actually wrote down the horrific things that the vaccine does. We actually documented it because we didn't think anyone would see it. But there's another reason why they documented it. You have to understand, Pfizer's a huge company. They had to do business as usual for their employees, so their employees didn't think anything was up. Their employees were just doing what they always do. So that's another reason why it had to be documented. They didn't want their employees being like, wait a minute, we've totally changed all our policies for this vaccine. So they let their employees go through all the same motions and things that they do with other stuff. That's another reason why they documented everything. But they thought, it's okay, no one's ever going to see this stuff. No one ever sees our stuff. No one ever sees it. So it doesn't matter how horrific it is. We know we have the FDA to say it will be safe and effective. So it doesn't matter. Do you know the amount of criminal activity and jail time the people at the FDA that pushed this through, because they got to see this stuff? You didn't, not until the court case. Now you can see it. But they got to see this stuff ahead of time and approved it anyways and lied to you straight to your face. But nothing happens to these people because we are in an overthrown government with corruption everywhere. And remember, they gave themselves immunity. You have to remember that. And it was under emergency use. So being as it may, you know the situation we're in. Here is report 71 from Dr. Naomi Wolf. And then I got so much more to give you besides this.
So first headline is that report 71, which will be in the sequel and which you can find on dailycloud.io, is about musculoskeletal adverse events of special interest And it turns out that they affected 8.5% of the post-marketing data set in Pfizer's report or database, including 4 children and 1 infant. Women were affected at a ratio of almost 4 to 1 over men. And you'll remember that I've often said joint pain is the number one side effect in the Pfizer documents. CDC doesn't mention it, but think of all the people around you. People are having shoulder replacements, knee replacements, their ankles are giving out, hip replacements. Young, healthy people are having joint pain, limping. This explains why. So this is by Dr. Barbara Garrett, Dr. Joseph Garrett, our wonderful Dr. Chris Flowers, and Lori Britt, very distinguished commentators. And the bottom line is there were 3,600 cases of musculoskeletal adverse events, 8.5%, as I mentioned. The 3,600 patients reported 3,640 adverse events of this kind. Of these, 44% were classified by Pfizer as serious. And this is actually report 71. And so it's about joint pain and muscle pain. So this is really important. The time from the administration to the adverse event ranged from less than 24 hours to 32 days. And half of the adverse events, the bad things, started within the first 24 hours after injection. So there's your smoking gun, cause and effect. Again, gender. We've seen this throughout the reports, Steve. It's women being targeted 3 to 1, 4 to 1, up to 8 to 1. Not that men are unscathed, but once again, we see racial.
Hang on. When you say targeted, you mean the vax itself? It's not that the Pfizer specifically targeted them, but just in the composition of the vax itself, it seems to target.
That's my second. That's going to be my second headline. But I'll just say, fine. Okay. I'll just say suffered, right? And, you know, as a woman, when you see over and over women suffering and you don't stop, it turns into targeting. But I will take your point and keep going.
Okay, I want to pause it there to just emphasize that every single report, remember, this is report 71. It seems like every single report that comes out, women in the Pfizer documents are way more affected by the vaccine than men. Men are affected as well. But women are even more so affected. So this would make sense if you have globalists trying to depopulate the earth. You would try to affect women even more so than men because you're trying to affect their reproductive system or cycle. And Dr. Naomi Wolf gave a hint, which she did not go into, so I don't know what she's going to drop, but she gave a hint at the end saying that they have a smoking gun about they were targeting women's reproductive cycle, that they were targeting, not that they have adverse events, because we know that, but it was a specific target. So I don't know what that's going to be. We'll find out in the next day, or actually that should be today. She's going to talk about this because she talked about this yesterday, report 71. So it's clearly a depopulation thing. How much more evidence do you need besides the people who made this stuff, like a Bill Gates, who told you in 2010 that they were going to depopulate the earth by 10 to 15% using vaccines? He actually said that in 2010 in the TED Talks. I've played it a million times, but if you want to look it up, look up on your own Bill Gates TED Talk 2010. You will find it in there when he's talking about the rise of CO2 and the population going up to 9 billion. He'll say it right in there. You will see what I am talking about. And you can look up the unedited version yourself so you know nobody's tricking you. He actually said it out loud. Why did he say it out loud? Because it was 2010. And he didn't think he had to worry about saying that. They were theorizing that they'd be able to depopulate the earth with vaccines by 10 to 15% in 2010. That was when they were theorizing. Then they realized, oh, we're going to really do it. So now he doesn't talk about that. All right, back to Dr. Naomi Wolf.
Mostly these were adults affected, not elderly people whom you'd expect to have joint pain, arthritis, but healthy adults and 2 adolescents, 4 children and 1 infant. The volunteers note that this injection was not approved for use in individuals under 16 years of age. So once again, Pfizer is somehow sourcing children and babies and injecting them criminally. The most common adverse event was anthralgia or joint pain in 97%, 70 arthritis, 26 rheumatoid arthritis.
Whoa. When you say injecting them criminally, what do you mean by that?
Well, so this, again, as the volunteers noted, this injection was not approved for use in individuals under 16 years of age. So they were injecting in their own records, two adolescents, four children, and one infant without approval.
Yeah. How are they doing that is the question. How are they in that study? And so it appears as criminal activity, as she is saying. One of the things is that Steve Bannon stopped her to ask her about that. But as he stopped her, she also said something about the joint and muscle pain. As we said, this number one side effect. I believe she gave out a stat. I wish he had asked her. I mean, I've heard it three times now because I've seen this video three times. That she says 97% in the Pfizer documents of the people taking the vaccine had joint and muscle pain. 97%. That's unbelievable. Do you think you could bring a product for medicine out to the market and the government wouldn't stop you if your product affected 97% of the people who took it in painful joint and muscle pains? They would never approve that in a million years, just that alone. And that's the minor, actually not minor. There are reports all over the place that some of this joint and muscle pain is permanent severe arthritis where bone rubs against bone for the rest of your life. You're in severe pain. And some people are having a hard time walking. So it's not like that's a minor thing. For a lot of the people, it might be minor if they're younger, but it's not going to be minor when they get older. So that's a major thing, but yet I would assume the majority of those people aren't where they can't walk. But the fact that 97% were affected. So then he pauses about how they studied children when this wasn't approved for children at the time. So how did they have children in the study? And that's why she's saying that's criminal activity right there in their own documents recorded. Unless they have some sort of explanation that they had somehow government approval to do it. And who knows, they might have. I have no idea. But then Steve Bannon is going to ask her, well, with all of this overwhelming, really, if criminal activity is what it looks like, how is it that nobody's being really prosecuted except for a few civil lawsuits? And she talks about that with Steve Bannon.
And when you experiment on people without approval, without authorization, with a medical intervention, that is a criminal act.
Hang on. I understand you got other stuff and you got to bounce at 11, so maybe we have to do this. But here's what I don't get. With evidence like this that's coming out of, and remember, people, these are their records. This is just people doing research off of their raw data that they had to provide because a federal court said you couldn't hold it for 75 years. Thank God.
Right.
But with this type of, why are there not attorney generals? Why? And I realize you've got civil suits going, but why are there not local prosecutors and why are there not attorney generals? And why are people and parents not going to people and say, hey, I want these people criminally pursued because I've got a hurt, grandfather, I got a dead child, whatever. This seems to be pretty compelling. And I don't know why we're getting crickets from criminal prosecutions, ma'am.
Well, there is, as I mentioned here, Attorney General Ken Paxton in Texas, who's starting an investigation. And two attorneys general in Louisiana and Missouri have also secured investigations of collusion about silencing discussion around these issues. But honestly, I don't know if you hate or don't hate my answer every time. The ball's in your team's court.
When she says it's in your team's court, she's talking about the politicians, the American people. They have to hold them responsible, but our politicians won't. And the attorney generals, yeah, Ken Paxton in Texas is looking into it and maybe we'll bring some sort of suit, hopefully, at some point in time. Every Republican attorney general should be doing it. Your citizens in your state were harmed, guaranteed. So every single attorney general in every single state could bring a case. But we have corruption. And we have the government that tried to give Pfizer immunity from all lawsuits. They did give them immunity, and it was an emergency use. And they can always proclaim, well, these people volunteered. They volunteered to take it, which is true. They actually did volunteer. But here's how you should be able to still prosecute them. The people did volunteer. You did have immunity, but it was all built on fraud. And when you build something on fraud, your immunity doesn't count. And people volunteering doesn't count because they were fraudulently deceived. So, yes, under our laws, you can still sue people under this situation. The attorney general can still do it, but they're not. They're not, and that's frustrating. I know why they're not right at this moment. You have to have a case that proves fraud first. Well, that should be super easy. So the first thing an attorney general needs to do is sue Pfizer for fraud using their own documents. When you win that case that they committed fraud in their documents, then you can sue them galore once you win that case and all states can jump in. I'm not someone that just came up with this. I've heard so many other people talk about that's what can be done. That's how I know this. Anyways, I'm going to move on because I got to get more. Remember, we mentioned a whole bunch about depopulation and how that's being the plan, and women are heavily affected by the vaccine. Well, here's a report from InfoWars talking about how the European Parliament issued a report of how birthing rates are way down. Well, I wonder why birthing rates are way down.
MP, member of Parliament, plumbing birth rates are biggest threat to Western society, which is totally true. For every two adults, you're having 1.3 children. Total collapse of civilization. But, oh, the Scientific American comes out. Population decline will change the world for the better when society and industrial systems collapse, which they're artificially doing now.
Now, look at that. See how the liberal media immediately jumps in when there's a report about birthing rates being down. The liberal media throws out a whole bunch of stories. This is not the only one. About how depopulation, less population, will be good for the planet. Because they're ready to brainwash as many people as possible so that they don't worry about the birthing rates, except for all society collapses when your birthing rates are down. If they're under two children per couple, then your society collapses, and it's way under. I think he said 1.3? That's way under. All right. So, but that's the plan. Remember, that's the plan. They want lower population. And don't forget what they did. Don't forget that in order to get you to take this vaccine, they had to scaremonger you. And how did they scaremonger you? Well, the hospitals abandoned all normal protocol for coronaviruses and followed a brand new protocol given by the CDC and Dr. Fauci that ended up murdering a whole bunch of people by putting them on ventilators and using remdesivir. But here is a doctor saying how awful it is, and the doctors all should have known putting these people on ventilators are and inducing comas. You don't do that in any of these situations, and yet they did. Take a listen. This is from The High Wire.
Once you put them on a ventilator.
So even if you take COVID out of the equation, yes, there's this known risk to ventilating people.
Many risks with ventilators. Okay. And we saw every one of those, including when they would increase the pressure. If you put someone on a ventilator, you have a risk of popping their lung, a pneumothorax, where you're going to cause a tension pneumothorax, where it presses the heart over to the side, impairs the return of the blood to the heart, and kills you quick if you don't treat it immediately.
Wow.
Called a tension pneumothorax. There's a list of known risk that you have just set them up for by putting them on a ventilator. And I can tell you as a doctor that has been in the middle of all this, that there have been doctors that have oversold ventilators telling patients, you look tired. That's not an indication to put someone on a ventilator saying, you look tired. You want to rest? Let us put you on the ventilator and you can rest for a while. That was insanity.
Wow.
That was non-science. That was dangerous. It was deadly for many people.
Well, and even Kyle Seidel went on to say in the longer version of that video, I am talking to people. I've never before taken people that are talking to me and said, well, your oxygen level's low. Let's put you in a coma and put you on a ventilator. He's like, usually when we're venting someone and putting them in a coma, they're already in massive distress, usually aren't speaking to us, not breathing. This was staring people in the eyes and basically walking into the bed that would be the last bed they ever laid into.
50 years of medical common sense, good judgment that has been tried and true got thrown out the window January 1, 2020, Dell, all the way to even what in my hometown where the emergency room, a level 2 trauma center, was putting bags over people's heads. They came in the ER and tested positive for COVID so that they wouldn't spread it to the workers, to protect the workers. Nonsense, non-science. Hard to believe these things were happening, but there was no good reason for putting people on ventilators early.
What?
Yes, and don't forget that they wanted to put a ton of people on ventilators, especially in New York. But it was the doctors and nurses that started to realize, well, this isn't right. And they were having a hard time sleeping at night because they knew that they were killing people. And so they slowly stopped doing it without really saying anything. But the government was ordering a whole bunch of ventilators because they wanted tons of people on ventilators so they could off them. Don't forget that the government ordered tons of ventilators. It's horrible what they were trying to do. Thank goodness they didn't kill even more. But now that you remember that, I've got only a short period of time to throw this in there. Make of this of what you will, but apparently our government has bought 13 million doses of the monkeypox vaccine. Is that a red flag that they're going to try to scaremonger you with this? Maybe.
I mean, this is the crazy thing.
Yeah.
It's like you almost can't blame them, right? Because all throughout COVID, you've seen how gullible the American people have been. Why shouldn't they tell you aliens are coming and that they say to make a global government and that monkeypox is just sprouting up all over the world totally randomly at exactly the same time that they're doing these tests? At exactly the same time, by the way, that the U.S. government has purchased 13 million monkeypox vaccines. They already have it. They've already bought them. 13 million of them. Yeah, little coincidental as well, huh? Done through the U.S. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. They've been approved for both smallpox and monkeypox. They're being made by Bavarian Nordic, a European company that received $100 million in funding from Fauci's NIAID.
Okay, I got to end it there because I am out of time. You make of that of what you will. They might change their plan, which they've done several times before, and then this is something they don't use, but it's something they could use. It's something to be aware of before it even happens if they decide to pull the trigger on something like this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya!
Hey guys, don't forget to subscribe to my dad's channel. It's free and you stay informed. Now that's a win-win. See ya!
Hey guys, Conversations That Matter is a show hosted by Alex Newman at thenewamerican.com. This is where he has conversations with a whole bunch of people in interview form, and these conversations are dealing with people that the mainstream media really doesn't want you to hear from, but Alex Newman will interview them and you'll get to hear from them. And these are things that could actually save your life or save our liberty as well. So check out Conversations That Matter at thenewamerican.com.